Hey guys, it's Jessica, founder of Noonday Collection. Welcome to the You Matter podcast. On this podcast, I want you to get ready to be inspired to be more courageous and to own your worth. Get ready to feel connected to the artisan community and to the community where you have a place of belonging, the ambassador community. Because the truth is, you matter, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the conversation. Everyone, today we have two super special interviews that I am so excited to share with you. These interviews are going to give you some insight into Bawa Hope, one of our partner businesses in Nairobi, Kenya. Bawa is run by Ann and Andrew, and Ann and Andrew are this young married couple in Nairobi who dream of bringing dignified work to Kenya. One of those places that they're making an impact is in the Kibera slums. Kibera is the slum that first woke me up to the realities of global poverty when I was 15. And I talk about that on our story video. That is when I walked through those slums and I saw the hope that entrepreneurship could provide. But among those shacks, I saw that strong woman running a brightly colored fruit stand that had been financed through a microloan. And it was that experience that sparked a desire in me to help create more opportunities like this for people living in vulnerable communities. And that vision eventually sparked Noonday Collection. So it's just really special, the work that we get to do there now. Today, we're going to start off with a conversation I had with Anne right before Shine, right before you guys completely rocked her world. She had the opportunity to share with our community a little bit about Bawa Hope got started and what her dreams for the future are. In this conversation, Anne shares more about the legacy of fair trade that she actually inherited from her mom and how she is continuing that vision today. So give it a listen. All right. Well, I am sitting here right now with Anne. Thank you so much, Anne, for chatting with me today. Anne is from Kenya. Yes. And she and her husband run an organization called Bawa. I would love to just hear your story. I've gotten to hear it, and it's so inspiring. And I just want ambassadors to get to hear your whole story. I don't know if you remember, but you shared with me in detail kind of how you came into this work.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jessica. So my story is that I actually grew up in a fair trade environment. Like, my parents used to export the famous Kamba Kiondo basket to Japan.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, so in 2007, we had the first elections violence in Nairobi. Mm-hmm. So we got the children and the women to go to internally displaced places, like in the camps.
Right.
Yes, in 2007. So we had a social justice week where we just got to go and meet the children and to meet the women and just to see, just to give them comfort and give them hope that everything is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So when we went there, I didn't want to get into serious things like discuss matters like business. I want to play with the kids.
Okay.
So after a while, I got bored and then I decided to just listen to what the women have to say. So the thing that stood out for me is there's one woman who shared and said, the poorest person in the world is not one without food, clothing, and shelter, but one without hope. Mm. So those words just kept ringing in my mind. So I thought I could sit there and feel sorry for the women and the situation, or I could do something about it. Mm. So I began to do some research work in the slums to see what is it that the women can do without pressure. And the most amazing thing, like in the slums that I went to do the research, what stood out is that they can do jewelry, but they don't have a market. Mm. They cannot even access the domestic market for their products. Mm. So I began to just pick a few products here and there, and because I have a marketing background, but I kind of like seem to gravitate towards design and trends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I did a little bit of changing the designs and I thought, this is it for me. I feel like the things that you're passionate about, they're actually more like your calling.
Mm.
So I felt like so passionate about it. So I actually quit my job to do this. So it's been a journey. Everybody thought that I was crazy to just quit like a job, because there are things that you're thinking about, like you need to take care of your bills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I also figured out that in this lifetime, you have to live for something that's bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's possible to stay in the comfort zone because you have your check every other month.
Mm-hmm.
But yet again, that's not fulfilling. So at the point, I think I was also at a crossroads where I need something that's bigger than me, something mm-hmm. that is more fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2008, then I registered Bauer Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we just began the whole journey of trying to get into the local market, mm. trying to see if we can get access to the market.
Mm.
It wasn't easy until the realities are until noonday came in.
Mm.
Yes, because for long months, people would go for so long without work.
Mm.
Yeah. But now noonday comes in and it's like you sleep, you wake up, and it's a whole different story. It's like a new chapter
mm.
in the women's lives and in the men's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's kind of like the background of my story.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell us, paint a little bit more of a picture of your growing up.
Oh, growing up.
Because your mom worked with artisans, which is unique
did.
In Kenya. I mean, this isn't like... There's not like tons of artisan work everywhere in Kenya. So yeah, tell us a little bit about your childhood.
Yeah, so I grew up in a village kind of like for 2 years, and then I moved to a town called Machakos Town that is in the eastern part of Kenya. And while growing up, I remember seeing my grandparents making sisal baskets. My grandparents made sisal baskets. My aunties were making sisal baskets, and everybody had a sisal basket. And uh-huh. even when you go for a wedding, you have to give the bride a sisal basket.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you fill it with anything, or
you have to fill it with maize? You know.
Okay.
So it's like a sign of like when you go, you have food to eat. So your cup is always going to be like full, you know,
okay.
things like that. Yeah. And my mom, she is very passionate about communities. She's very passionate about women.
Okay.
Because her background is more like, because we have a polygamy. Back in the day, we had a lot of polygamy. So my grandfather left my grandmother.
Right.
To go marry.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to sit and talk with Jalia, because this is her whole story.
Oh, really?
Yes. Her father has 40 children.
Yes.
Yeah. Jalia's dad.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is a part of her, such a huge part of her story. I cannot wait for y'all to hang out more.
Oh, great. So now my grandmother had to work so hard, you know, go to the shamba, you know, plant maize and beans for my mother to go to school.
Right.
And she worked so hard that my mom had good education. And she got, like, so passionate about communities. Like, the women can do it. If my mother did it, that was her motto. If my mother do it, other women can do it.
Mm.
You know, you don't have to have, like, this high-flying job for your kids to go to school.
Mm.
Because my grandmother did it for my mom.
Right.
Yes, so she began to start small trainings for the women about what quality means, about the designs that we feel can fit in the export market in the US and in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So I've grown with a lot of seeing a lot of baskets, seeing a lot of handicrafts. So in a way, I'm socialized that way.
Right.
Yeah. So when I grew bigger, I thought, I'm not sure I want to do this because it's what I see it every day. Yeah. So I got
because you thought I want to do something different.
I want to do something different. I want to do like international business travel. Things like that. You know, I don't want to do the same handicrafts because everywhere there are handicrafts in the house and things like that. Yeah, so really after the post-elections violence, it's what I thought. And I felt like, for me, this is passion. It's not because my parents did it. I feel like this is like what God is calling me to do.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like I have market access. I can look for markets.
Mm-hmm.
But here are these women that... they have no hope for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know where their next meal is going to come
mm-hmm.
from. Yet again, they have so much that they can do with their hands. You know?
So tell me about that, because I think about that with my daughter, Amelie, who you met last night.
Yes, she's awesome.
And I wonder, you know, she's growing up around this.
Yeah.
She's growing up hearing these stories, and she travels with me a lot.
Yes.
And you grew up with it, but it's almost like you didn't understand the suffering.
No, I didn't. That part of the suffering, I didn't see it.
Until you were much older.
Until I was older. Because for me, I thought, all right, fine, it's business, you know. People have to go to school, so people have to work hard, you know. Mm-hmm. They have to do what they have to do.
To make it work.
To make it work. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't more like, oh, okay, fine, let's help people, you know. So as I grew older, and especially after the post-election violence, it just hit me like, oh, my God. It's not really, it's beyond money. It's beyond, like, it's helping people. It's making people realize who they are. It's making people to know that they have dignity as people, you know. And it's also making women realize that you don't have to sit home for your husband to provide. You can actually do it. Yeah. So many years later is when I looked back, I was like, oh, that's why my mom was so passionate about it, because of the whole story that my grandmother had to work extremely hard for her to get good quality education, you know.
Right.
So she had the motto of, if my mother did it, then I can do it myself.
Right.
Yeah. So for me, it wasn't always like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because of course, I grew up, I'm like, okay, I have a marketing background. I could go to the corporate world and work. Yeah. Until, I think sometimes it's like a bulb that just hits you and you're like, oh, so this is it.
Right.
This is it for me. It's more like, let's improve lives. Let's give people a more dignity.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, did you meet your husband before you started BAWA?
Okay, so how I met my husband, because we lived in Machakos town. It's such a small community. So we all go to the same church. We all go to the same restaurant. It's so small. Yeah, so I met him before I started BAWA. I was doing consultancy work. And we got married in 2009, June. And immediately we got married, he got a job in Kibera slums.
Okay.
And he was working with, there were like eight women that were doing jewelry. And it was a project that was, it was a Dutch project.
Okay.
So he was like the business project manager.
Wow.
Yeah. So like after a year, he wasn't happy with the principles of the organization, which is normal sometimes. So he came home one day and told me that I quit my job. Then I was thinking, are you kidding me? You quit your job? What are we going to eat? Things like that.
Right.
And then he said, I feel like God is calling me, really, for sure, to do something with BAWA. Then I was like, okay, fine, let's give it a try. Let's see what happens.
Wow.
Yes. And he was like really supportive, because he knows that I'm very passionate about what I'm doing. I'm very passionate just to see people grow. I get very inspired by the stories, and just to see in reality, to see people moving like from abject poverty to a normal life. That is very, very inspiring.
Yeah.
Yes.
So paint a picture for me of one of the women that you have, sort of a typical woman from Kenya that might come from more poverty, and what a job has meant to her.
Okay. There are so many perfect examples. I know a family that before we started working with them, I actually walked into the market, and then I met this woman. Then I'm asking her, can I see your product? She's like, yeah, you can see my products. And I said, oh, we can start work. Do you have a bank account? Then she's looking at me like, a bank account? I have never had a bank account. So that really moved me. And then I was thinking, oh, how do you manage to live your life, you know, things like that. And then I marketed a product. And then I remember her telling me that she was living on like $2 in a day. Or if she got a big, big order, it was like $50. Yes. And I marketed the product for her. And she got, her first order was like about $600. And it was like really, really big.
Yeah.
So we got to open a bank account. And she brought her child from the village, because what happens is, if you feel that you cannot afford to take care of your kids, then it's easier to take them to your mom back in the village, because life is a little bit cheaper there. they need to just get water from the river, you know, things like that. So she was able to bring the child to Nairobi, and right now they moved from like the slum to a more decent home. So there's so many amazing stories, and up to the point where even when I wonder what's happening, are the orders going to increase, that even the women and the men come to me and tell me, don't worry, there's going to be work. You know, there's so much hope. So the hope is becoming a reality to so many people.
Right.
Yes.
What do you think are some of the key things that you learned from your mom?
Yes, my mom. My mom is a tough cookie. She's a very tough woman. And then she taught me about being patient and just to learn that it takes time for beautiful things to flourish and to grow. So I'm also learning to be patient, even with all the technology and with all the anxiety in the world at the moment. So I'm learning to know that beautiful things take time. And then also in my nature of business, I'm also learning that as much as people appreciate your product and they love the story about the product, people want to feel it has value. So they want value for their product. She always says, you know, she always taught me, you need to realize that if a product is in a shop in New York and then there's another product from Mexico, another one from India, people want to, when the products are there, it's more like, which one is of good quality? Because people want to feel, this is worth my money.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's I think that's a good value that she taught me. What is the other value that she taught me? As a woman, you have to be strong. You have to have a very thick skin. Because also in this kind of business, when you have like men also, like as competitors, sometimes they're going to look at you as a woman at the end of the day.
Right.
So she always said, and when you go for a meeting, can you please make sure that you have a notebook first, you know? Because like in Africa, I mean, the first thing they look at you, they look at you like a woman first.
Okay.
Then I'm thinking, this is what I have to offer. I have so much that I can put on the table, you know? I have so much influence. I can actually influence so fearlessly, you know?
Right.
So she taught me as a woman, you also have to learn to have a very thick skin.
Okay.
And know that you can do it. Other women have done it.
So this is your first time to America.
Yes.
What have you tried so far? Have you had queso yet?
Yes, I did. I just did like about an hour ago.
What do you think?
Told, it's like amazing.
It's good,
it's
right?
It's good. It's like my favorite. It's a pop. And then we had, for lunch today, we had the, for people that have grown up in Texas. So we had like the real Texas meal.
Okay.
What they eat like every day. So that was like really cool. It's just so good.
Yeah. What did you have?
We had
Couple Bobs.
Okay, yes. Tex-Mex.
Yes, Tex-Mex.
Oh, That is like our everyday food.
Yes,
it is.
I was like, really nice. And the people are awesome. People are really nice. They're friendly.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything that you want to share with ambassadors as they are maybe on their way to a trunk show right now to go sell BAWA products?
Yes, I would like the ambassadors to know that they're actually influencing the people back in Nairobi very fearlessly and in a very positive way, because they're creating and making money for the people back in Nairobi in the slums. So people feel that they have a decent lives because the ambassadors are working really, really hard to make sure that the jewelry is selling.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate the ambassadors, and we are happy to be in the same value chain and just to all of us to work together. So we are very excited about that.
Awesome.
Yes, and for Noonday, I'm excited about growth.
Yes.
I remember when we came to Kenya, you had 1,000 ambassadors.
Yes.
Or I just learned yesterday, you had 1,500.
Yes.
So the thing that I appreciate is as Noonday is growing, the whole value chain is growing, the ambassadors are growing, BAWA is growing, all the artisans are growing. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a hope that is a reality.
That's awesome.
Yes.
A hope that is reality.
Oh, it's reality. It's not false hope. It's not hype. It's not. It's reality. It's tangible. You can see people's lives being changed, you know? We have hope that we are able to have orders I mean, Nunde just came to start working with Bauer just was it 2 years ago, and we feel an impact now. You know, the artisans really appreciate that they don't have to stay for so long without work. You know, they have decent lives. It's like their full-time job. Yeah, so I'm excited about growing with Nunde, and I can't wait to see how 5 years looks like from now.
Me neither.
Yeah,
let's do it.
It's going to be awesome. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Many of you guys know, especially if you followed my Insta stories, that I recently got back from Ethiopia and Kenya. And during that trip, one of my favorite things was just getting to spend time in conversation with our partners there and learn more about how Nunde is making an impact in those communities. I had a quick weekend with Anne and Andrew, and we stayed up till like 2 a.m, both nights in a row, drinking chai. And on one of those late nights, I pulled out my iPhone to record this conversation. Get ready to listen in as we talk about how Nunde and Bawa Hope become partners and how this partnership is sparking hope in their community through your work. All right, I am here in Nairobi, Kenya, with Anne and Andrew. Well, it's been so fun to get to stay with you guys. It's like a short little weekend jaunt in Nairobi.
Yeah.
We packed a lot in today. We packed a lot in.
Yeah, we had a lot to do.
Yes.
Like very few hours.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's been really cool about spending time with Anne and Andrew, just to give you guys that are listening a background, we started working in Kenya, developing this relationship in 2015. We actually sent someone from Nunde, Tamara, to come and scout out groups that we could work with in Nairobi. And previous to that trip, Karen Gibbs, who works as a consultant for Nunde over our artisan partnership, she had met Anne and Andrew at a trade show in Germany, along with hundreds. I mean, isn't Ambiente just huge?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. Yeah.
So tell us the story of how you even got to Ambiente, because we've done a podcast with Anne before. We've heard sort of the story of Bawa. So I'm kind of picking up the next chapter, as you will. But let's just at least go back to the Ambiente. So there's hundreds of people there. And you said Karen Gibbs came by, grabbed a card.
Yeah. Karen Gibbs passed by. And because where we were, the aisle, at Kenyan companies. And I think she recognized one of the companies there. So she stopped and then she spoke to all of us and she got a card from us. And she saw a jewelry and she said, I think I know a place where this jewelry can fit in. And then she told me, I'm going to introduce you to a company that's the fastest growing fair trade company in the US. Of course, at that time it was like, I mean, we are so many people.
You've talked to a million people.
You've talked to millions of people. But at least I took photos in an iPad of what she had seen and I sent her an email with it to follow up.
As they were talking.
Yes, as we were talking.
Yes.
And then when we came back, I told her, we need to hustle this lady. I have a hunch that there's something good coming out of it.
Yeah.
And so we wrote to her. And then I think after a week, she wrote back and said, okay, someone coming down to Nairobi. Her name is Tamara. These are her flight details. So you meet up. And she did the introductions.
Uh-huh.
And from there, as I say, the rest is history.
Yeah.
I mean, we're here. We're working with them.
So at that time, you know, tell me about your business, your customer base, and what your hopes were going into that. Because it's a big investment to go up there.
I mean, basically, at that time, we had one consistent buyer.
Okay.
And they were not doing, like, very huge orders. They were doing, like, very small orders. But we were going there in hopes that at least we'll land one client that will be of significance.
But Anne had this robust history of her mom working with artisans her whole life.
Yeah, so growing up, I've just seen a lot of, you know, life-transforming stories, and
impact in terms of using trade to impact on the lives of people that mm-hmm. don't have, that are living on less, practically living right. on less than $1 in a day.
Right.
Yes.
So you knew what it was going to take.
Yes, I knew it was going to take a lot of commitment and a lot of patience, and also taking the line, a different route, mm-hmm. which is jewelry.
Oh,
was
right.
new for me. It was right. like a whole new world for me.
To learn.
Because I had been used to the cucumber mm-hmm. basket and to the soapstone and to the utility, more like home decor
right.
items. So right. jewelry was going to be, was very different for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like for jewelry, it's very personal.
Right.
You know,
if it
you
is personal.
Earring, it has to be like perfect.
Yeah.
Measurement and everything.
Yeah.
Yes. But Nairobi, in the slums of Nairobi, a lot of women can do jewelry.
Jewelry. Apparently. Yeah.
That's their talent.
Well, and men too.
And men.
Yeah.
Do amazing casting right. and soldering.
Soldering. Yeah. Okay. So Tamara, so you meet Karen, you know, y'all get connected. And then she's like, Tamara's coming to Nairobi.
Yeah.
So you meet up with Tamara.
Yes.
And so, and at noonday, when we're scouting new groups, we meet with a bunch of different groups and then we say, okay, let's see how this sample goes. Can you make, so we probably gave you a couple of designs.
Yes. When Tamara came, she came with a tech pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tech packs are what we call, that's what our designers, you know, put in the computer that have the measurements and the color. And this is, you know, and then we teach people how, you know, to kind of read it, you know.
Yeah.
We've heard that they're really good though, I have to say. Out of all of our artists and partners, they're like, we love Noonday's tech packs.
Yeah.
Because they're very precise.
They are. And the measurements are like just on point. So
yeah.
She came with the ankle.
Tech packs. So that's the ankle cuff. So we'd already designed that cuff. And so came with that.
And,
yeah.
And she came with another necklace, the spikes, the one with the spikes.
Yes. I love that one. Necklace. The Mombasa.
Yeah.
Yes. That was a challenge for y'all to figure out.
Yeah,
and
it was.
Yeah.
And the habad. Was it the habad?
And the tolen.
That was another challenge.
Yeah. So she said, if you want to work with Noonday, first of all, you need to be able to produce 1,000 pieces, like minimum 1,000 pieces. We're like, really? 1,000 pieces? So we began to talk to the artisans also.
Okay.
Can you do 1,000 pieces? And then they thought we were crazy also.
We were
crazy to them because
they're like,
they'd never done those numbers.
Okay.
Never. Even with maybe people they've worked with before, they'd never done.
Okay.
Yeah. So we did it and it passed through.
What's been the biggest challenge, like, for you guys since in the last 2 years?
I think the biggest was for the artisans to start knowing that it's like you need to have a photocopy of each product.
Mm.
Because they used to make products, but they were not so keen on the measurements.
Right.
I mean, it's either it's a plus or minus, they'll be like, that's fine. But now we're here and we're telling them it has to be precise. It has to mm-hmm. be precise. It has to be precise.
Especially those bracelets.
Yes. And we have to keep on saying about it.
Yeah.
Yes. And also trying to explain to them that, yes, this 1,000 pieces, it's a reality.
Mm.
It's not jokes. Mm-hmm. So I think at first we gave them like 200 to see. And they're like, oh, it's 200 to see now.
Mm.
And then we told them another 200 is coming.
Yeah.
Another 200, and they were like, oh, wait, we're going to hit the 1,000 mark.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, so that was the first, the challenge was just to get them to be serious and precise on that. Yeah.
So the way it is in Kenya is there, it's kind of similar actually to how we work in Guatemala, where there's so many different people groups. There's so many different artisans that specialize in different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes sort of the business spearheaders, which are you guys, to help them build capacity to go create a market for them, to do the design, the quality, and all of that.
Yeah.
And so that's what you guys have done, is kind of gone out, find people who have the talent, have the skill, have the ability to have that vision, but then you come alongside them and help them build them up. And a great example of that is today I got to meet Fred in the Kibera slums, which is where I first, God just completely turned my life upside down when I was age 15 years old.
Yeah.
And I
I just had never seen, even today as I was thinking about it, to me, it's not a thing. It's not jolting to walk through there today. Like that's, you know, to me, it's like so exciting to get to be with the people. And, but if you've never ever seen, I mean, you just recently went to America for the first time, Anne,
yes,
you can see the contrast.
Two different worlds. Two opposite worlds.
Yeah. So, you know, there's just one spout where like 1,000 people are getting water from, and there's 1 million people that live in this Khabur slum. Yeah. So, but going there today, it was just like, wow, it's not jolting me, but it's awesome to be back 25 years later, you know, now creating jobs for the very people, the very community that rocked my world.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I've lost my train of thought because I'm about to start crying. Oh, Fred. Okay. Yeah. So we went to, so we went to visit Fred, and he was about to start making something y'all haven't seen yet. What are we calling this bangle? Some bangles?
Then we call it the Geo.
The Geo. Okay. They're going to sell like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I didn't know that, you know, that's how they were made. But y'all can go, we're making all sorts of videos that y'all are going to get to see how all of this stuff is made. So anyway, we come upon him. So he's in the middle of that. And then he stopped and showed me how the whole curvature earring is made. And then we just got to sit and talk to him more and hear more about his family. He's got 3 kids and a wife. And I asked him, okay, so since you've seen these orders, what have you done? Like, what have you been able to do with that? And what did he answer, Andrew? You are my translator.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he said that he's been able to now get better education for his children, which is one of the most important things for him, because he never got a chance to finish school because of lack of school fees. And so that is a key thing for him. And again, of course, starting a business for his wife. And now he's looking forward to expanding his workshop with a new noonday orders that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So his future is to have a bigger workshop with more modern equipment. And also for him, it's creating opportunities for others who are coming to work for him.
Right. You said he's a really good mobilizer.
Oh, yeah, he is. He is. I mean, just the other day, he did 900 curvatures in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so he mobilizes people, and he knows how to motivate them to work.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I think it's just a skill that is in him. Yeah.
Which is so important when you're looking to scale to find those people. And then he also shared about his wife.
Yeah.
Who he was able to help launch a business of hers, secondhand clothing.
Yeah.
Which explain what that means here, because, well, we have thrift shops in America, but it's, I don't know, I think it's different here.
Yeah.
So what happens is that she's able to kind of like buy like a bale of clothes.
Okay.
It could be maybe mixed for women and for kids.
Right.
And the bales are expensive.
Okay.
They could cost maybe about $200 or something.
Wow.
For a bale.
Wow.
So then maybe she would buy, depending on how fast the clothes are moving.
Yeah.
Then she's able to restock.
Right. So she sells them for a little more than what she bought them for. And
Yes. And then she's able to go to work.
Right.
From 8 to 5.
And tell me about that, because, you know, we're in a slum, 1 million people. There's a lot of people sitting around.
Yeah, there is. And you see, the thing is, like, if you're a woman in Kibera, even when you're married, you can be vulnerable. It's possible for, like real talk we've had, even with married women trying to prostitute.
Yeah.
So that they're able to provide for
their
families.
Right.
So when we hear that, like, Fred's wife is now has a
occupied
job, for us, we feel like it's a relief.
Yes.
Because we care about their marriages at the same time.
Of course.
We care about their key children, because we've also had situations where the one parent could get sick and they die because they got themselves in this sort of lifestyle to help.
Yeah.
The children. So when Fred is getting money out of Noonday,
yeah,
able to support the wife to start a business, that's
a really
plus for us.
It is. Yeah.
So we are very excited about Fred's wife getting a job.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's just more, you know, coming because now everyone's seen consistency. It wasn't just some one time coming in, ordering, you know, but now we've got these curvature earrings that he just made 900. There's just another order for 1600. There will be more. And y'all are now on sort of a regular schedule of when you're going to receive orders. And so that helps. You guys
that
plan
helps.
Your business.
That helps a lot because now they're able to know how many months in a year they're going to have work. And then it's possible to plan for the future. It's possible to plan forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very helpful.
Yeah, totally.
And then, of course, Noonday is the biggest buyer.
Right, right.
Yeah, which is very good news to everybody in the slums and everybody we're working with and for us. And we're very excited. And we can anticipate growth. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we've also done with Fred is just to ask him, can you mobilize more people? Can we add more people? Because we can anticipate growth.
Right.
Yes.
And what I was sharing earlier with on and Andrew, I should say Andrew or something. because I just came here for the weekend and I'm going back to Addis tomorrow. I was in Addis previously and we've been working there a long time for years. And so, and I've even came so fresh with the stories. Listen to what has happened. What's that's been like for you guys is I'm sure you've seen my excitement and how moved I was in Ethiopia. What are some of your thoughts about that? Is it like, okay, is that going to be Kenya someday? Because we're in every single partnership we have, we're in a different chapter in our story, you know? So Ethiopia, we're just like, you know, chapter 30, whereas like here, we're like maybe chapter 3. Mm-hmm. So when you imagine chapter 30, what does chapter 30 look like?
We talk about that.
Yeah.
We talk about that like most of the time. So like, it's just been almost just 1 year of Noonday. We have no idea how 5 years is going to look like. Mm-hmm. But one thing that we know for sure is that we're going to have like all the artisans busy. Their hands are going to be full year and year. And then they're able to, you know, do things like, you know, most of them are taking care of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be able to be financially, like they'll be financially at a good place where they can take care of their families, they have no struggles, they can take their kids to school without having to worry where they're going to get money or school fees and things like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's going to be like a whole, it's going to be life-changing. It's already life-changing. So I don't know what's the other word for life-changing when it's a lot of life-changing.
Transformation.
Is going to be,
metamorphosis.
Yeah. We're getting scientific now.
Yeah. So we look at groups, look at like Ethiopia. We're like, wow, it's just been 6 years. Maybe you began with them 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're like, we don't even know how 6 years is going to look for, like for Bawa.
Right.
But we know it's going to be, everybody will be like, they're happy that, you know, we got to sign up with Noonday. We got to say yes to Noonday.
Yes. It starts with yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, and the last time, I keep changing the way I say your name. Okay. The last time we did a You Matter, you were sitting in my office at the Noonday Collection office. It was the day before Shine.
Yes.
And I think probably you heard, get ready, get ready.
Yes.
But think about how you were then and then post Shine.
So Shine happened.
Yes.
So when Shine happened, it was amazing just to see the passion the ambassadors have. You know, they take it like their full job.
Mm.
And then that got me motivated to know that I need to do my job. Like, I do my job well because the ambassadors, they're doing like their job. They have to be on the road just listening to the stories of how they leave their families. And somebody has to do like 72 track shows in a year. That means a lot. That means it shows commitment. So that means that they're hustling so hard to make sure that the artisans are okay.
Mm.
It's more like bigger than what the government is doing. Yeah, and then also it gave me direction on where I feel Bawa is going with Nunde.
Mm.
So we feel we're working together and we are in for growth,
mm-hmm.
which translates into more people here in Nairobi, Kenya,
mm-hmm.
getting more jobs and putting more food on the table for more families mm-hmm. here.
Right.
Yeah. So the passion rubbed me just to continue doing, you know, when you know, let's do this. Mm-hmm. We are many of us and we might not see each other every day, but we are almost sharing the same mission and we are in this together.
We are.
We are in this together.
Yeah.
Yes. So and just powerful. To sit there, Jessica, just to hear you inspire all of us. It was amazing. It was amazing. And to know that you matter. No yeah, matter what.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah.
At whatever level you matter, you know, even at that level in Kibera.
Yes.
Even those little kids that are saying, hi.
How are you?
You know, it doesn't matter which level you are in. It doesn't even matter where you are.
Mm.
You matter no matter what.
Right.
Yeah. You matter no matter what you're going through.
Yeah.
And then just to know that your current situation doesn't have to define who you are.
Right.
And it's not like a sentence of, it's not like a life sentence.
Mm.
So that was very inspiring.
That, yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
You inspired us big time. So would you have, when Anne came to America, I mean, she was gone for what, 3 weeks?
Yes.
Okay. So culturally here, I mean, that would be a big deal in America for a mom, you know, to kind of go on a business trip for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So here, Andrew, can you think of many friends that would be like, goodbye, Anne, you know, have a good trip? Or do you think a lot of husbands would be like, maybe not even permit their wives?
Yeah, we'll have those. Because especially for now when Anna left, I was just, my son and I, who were just the two of us in the house. Yeah. So.
And didn't your nanny leave like right before that?
Yeah, that was not good timing.
Right,
so by the time Anna, I remember we were taking her to the airport at night and we went with Jaden to the airport with him because I wouldn't leave him in the house alone.
Right.
Yeah. And she had a late flight.
Yeah, like 11:59.
Yeah, so we went to the airport, came back. And I mean, I had to make sure that I have to work throughout the day and then go and pick him in school or be here at home before he gets back from school. And then do homework. And then after he sleeps, then you'll have to chat with Anne and then you'll have to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what you're saying is true. A lot of men would be like, no,
you're
not leaving me with a child for three weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you think about the artisans you're working with,
yeah,
what do you think their mentality is and how are you going to be able to impact that?
Yeah, it's quite different. It's quite different.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have those conversations with them, but now I let more of the actions because sometimes, because our office is behind the house, so sometimes they come in at night to bring, I mean, when they're doing deliveries, and they'll find me cooking.
Yeah.
And Anne is the one that now is going to talk to them and, you know, do the inventory and everything. And they're wondering, where's this guy? What is he doing in the house? He should be the one here and Anne on the other side. But just nowadays, I just let them see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then learn it from there. Because I realize the more you talk to someone and tell them, you need to do this, you need to do that, they kind of shy away from it. But when they see you practically doing it.
Right.
There's a message that just comes in.
It provides a vision.
Yeah, yeah. So because it's practical, they can see. Yeah. Or one of them comes and I tell him, no, I'm trying to bathe our son, so Anne will talk to you. And you can see the expression in the face like, what just happened? Yeah.
Someone just said, the man just said he's bathing his son and the woman is going to talk business with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they'll be looking at me like, are you supposed to be here?
Why are we having reverse roles?
Yeah, these are reverse roles.
Wow.
But you can see it in his face. But over time, they come and they find it. It's like it's normal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember one of them telling me, yo, you love your son so much. Mm. And I said, I mean, it's...
You have to be intentional and deliberate.
Because there's something that fathers have impact on their sons and even on their children.
Mm.
So you have to give them that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's cool to think that as you're doing that to your son, you're modeling that and changing so many other sons' lives I mean, you will. Yeah. I mean, that's the vision I have.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about vision. You know, I know it's orders and it's work, but when I meet a strong couple like you guys, it's not just, okay, they're really good at design and production and all this logistical thing. Yeah. There really is a vision for being able to transform families by mentorship and modeling what family can look like. And so, you know, it's hard with storytelling at noonday because so many of the women listening might have never left America. And it's hard to paint this picture of how different things are and culturally, how different things are in all the different countries that we work. And, you know, we tell these stories and it's not like happily ever after, you know? Yeah. So even sharing Fred's story today, it's encouraging. It's awesome. And I want to come back in 5 years and see like a strong marriage and all of that. But we don't know. I mean, we don't know what might happen. But the important thing is that you guys are there, you know, investing and so that they will have like a model for what family can be outside of the slums.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is something that we always emphasize and also overemphasize that. I mean, the biggest vision should be also to get out of the slum and just live in decent housing.
Mm.
Yeah, which is, I mean, which for us, that would be like we've really achieved if we get.
If that happens.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So chapter 30 includes what?
Oh, chapter 30, I mean, includes Fred has moved. I mean, has moved, and his children are also getting the best education they can get.
Yeah.
I mean, him and his wife are enjoying the fruits of their labor.
Yes. That's true.
And they have little friends also managing the business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because also I believe it's something that we need to put it in the culture that even in this chapter 30, you'd find even if it's Jaden is playing a part in Bauer.
Carrying on the legacy that your mom started in.
Yeah.
And then also one of the things that we also teach them is even like your family is your first ministry about So we are also very intentional about, you know, just finding out, oh, hi. So how is your wife doing?
Right.
You know, we're very intentional. So how are your kids doing?
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, because we still want to see working families. Of course, life happens but we try as much as possible just to be deliberate to make sure that their families are in good order. And if they need help of anything, if they're going through something in life, they can easily reach out to us and we can share our experiences.
And which they do sometimes. They talk to us in even besides work and someone will tell you, okay, I'm having a hard time. I'm
going through this.
Maybe they are in a rough season and someone will tell you, you know, we don't have fees or I'm struggling to have this money or to do this.
Right.
Yeah. So just because they come and open up to us shows that there's a certain level of trust.
That's right.
That has crept in. So we are not just, and that is the one thing that we told them, that we're not about money and products.
Yeah.
We should be more than that. It's just a relationship where we know each other.
Right.
Yeah, very personally. Yeah.
And you can reach out to us at midnight.
When
you're on it, maybe you got a bite from a snake or something for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And you need like $10 to get yourself to the hospital or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so whichever way we can help.
Yeah.
We like to help them.
Yeah.
Okay, so something we've talked about is you guys are passionate about Kenya and all that Kenya has to offer for good reason.
Yeah.
You've talked a lot about the tourism industry. And even today we went to the Maasai market and I mean, it was just endless stalls. And I looked at Anna and I said, I bet most of these people don't even get one sell in an entire day. Mm. And you said, gosh, but it used to just be jam packed. Mm. So, talk a little bit about what has happened and then we're going to end on Noonday Ambassador Trip. What would that look like?
Wow.
Oh yeah. Let's dream. Let's dream. Cause you've got me dreaming about my trip and I'm like, okay, my trip to the Maasai Mara. Yeah.
That would be like anticipating a box office movie that's coming out.
the next box office.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about, how you've seen the tourism industry. And this is something I think is really cool about our ambassador trips, because we are going to countries that people typically don't go to for tourism. And we're really sort of trying to rebrand. You know, we don't want the countries we work in just to be known as like, oh, these are poor countries. Even the slums today, it's like, no, there's so much more to offer. You know, like there's opportunity. These people are smart and entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. And so how has that affected Kenya? And then what can ambassadors do about that, changing the tourism industry here?
Mm-hmm. So like we were saying, when we had the what was it? The bomb blast?
The terrorist attacks.
Then we had like all these travel advisories from the US.
That was in the early
2000s.
But the UK one was prolonged for a long time because they just scrapped it off. Was it this year or last year?
Last month.
Wow, yeah, last month. There's no longer. Yeah.
So like before that, you'd find like so many tour vehicles going into the Maasai market.
Wow.
Buying products, and business was booming. Sometimes even for some artisans, they'd make like $500 in a day.
Wow.
And then now there was a terrorism attack. Then there was all these travel advisories, and business just took a dip.
Yeah. Huge.
Huge dip. As in like you'd go to the market where you'd find like maybe even 100 tourists ago. You just find like maybe just one tourist. Like for instance, today. Did you realize you're the only tourist?
I did realize that.
You're the only tourist. Yeah. It's a whole market that has like about more than 300 vendors coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that took a dip, and it's been real a struggle for most of our artisans. So we want to believe that if the business come, oh my. Andrew.
We would wipe that market clean today. Because I wanted to wipe it clean.
Too much. You know, when Jessica said, oh my, I want this basket. Like, I want all of them. Yeah. And I thought if she came with like 10, 20, 15 ambassadors, then everybody would just go home.
We'd have to go to your mom's village and like... Yes.
You'd love it.
Because there weren't enough baskets today for all the ambassadors.
Yes.
Well, we know we're going to Vietnam in 2018, so that's going to be our big new trip. But let's... 2019. I don't know.
It's you.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Can you keep going? Yeah. So that'll be Vietnam 2018. Then 2019, we can do Kenya.
Yeah.
And then you can go and see the... elephants and Maasai Mara. It's like
visit Kibera and see all the artisans.
Yes, because you give them so much hope. Like one, my highlight for today was just to look at Fred and to see Maurice and to see the hope and just to see their face light with so much hope. Yeah. That was it for me. When I saw that, I was like, okay, fine, we could go sit down and have coffee now. And even you just talking to them, it gave them so much hope.
It's so humbling because I'm just. You know, I don't feel the weight of that, you know, and I'm just showing up. This is absolutely a joy for me. And I just keep pinching myself. Now I'm going to start crying. I'm crying. But yeah, I just can't believe that I get to be a part of this, that we all get to be a part of this. Yeah. It's a privilege.
And it's such a privilege. Yeah. So, and then I was just looking at Fred, and when the more you talked, the bigger the smile, and the more his eyes were just lighting up. Because it's different. You know, when I go tell them, you know what, Fred, hey, you have an extra 2,000 more bancos to make. Then you come there and then you say, do you realize that you're going to do like 2,000 more bancos? Then they feel so much, you know.
Well, and also I told them about how many partners we work with and how such good quality.
Yes, that was so encouraging because he couldn't even say anything. He just kept
smiling. Oh, that smile.
He just laughed. He's like that laugh of happiness.
And happiness.
Yeah.
And then I was happy just to know that even when we push for quality, because we keep teaching them, you know, at the end of the day, as much as, of course, the ambassadors are supporting you, your goods have to, you know, fight for themselves. You know, when they put them in the shelf and the
people are coming to buy in the trunk shows, they have to stand out because they're good quality. So you just affirming them.
That's good. Yeah.
I said, oh, my work for today is done.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which you did.
Yeah.
They kindly took me to a very American coffee shop, which I totally loved because I've been eating a lot of Ethiopian food. Okay, so we're going to bring this to a close.
Yeah.
What are you telling the ambassador right now? He's going scared today. She met someone who's interested in becoming an ambassador, but she's scared to ask that person. She thinks that that person might think, oh, they're going to think I'm pushy or whatever. How can you encourage an ambassador today?
Let them do it. Do it even if you're going to do it trembling, because at the end of the day, you have no idea of what impact you're making on the ground. So just ask them to say yes.
Just ask.
Yeah. Just ask. Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Even if someone says, no, you tried for the sake of someone who is living in Kibera, for the sake of Fred's wife, who needs most talk.
Yeah.
For her clothes, you know.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just say yes and just ask.
Okay.
Yeah. I think what the
bigger picture. Sorry.
Yeah.
I also think the bigger picture is like even when you know who you're asking for, it doesn't matter. You'll not even be afraid to ask.
Ask. Oh, shoot. You go to Kibera slums and you will never be afraid to ask.
You will just ask. Oh, yeah. You come to Kibera slums, you keep asking. Sign up to Nunde. I'll explain later.
I was just saying that I think fear stops us from achieving a lot. So they shouldn't be afraid of anything. Yeah, because even if you fail, if for everyone who has succeeded, they have found some failures in their lives on their way. Yeah, so it's not something unique.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's not going to be unique for them and saying, oh, I'm afraid to do this.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not unique.
Yeah,
it's in there. So all you need to do is just, again, get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, go ask. And do not let fear hold you down.
Life is meant to be lived outside of our safety and comfort.
Oh, yeah. And that's where it is. That's where the adventurous is.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for letting me join in your adventure. And I'll be back for much longer than 48 hours.
Yeah, that was still a little time.
Who do we call? Oh. To change that.
Who do we call? We need to... we need to go and visit the village. We need to go to Suswa also.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Here at Noonday Collection, we talk so much about how our artists and partners are a source of inspiration for us. But I loved hearing Anne share about how inspired she's been by you, our ambassadors. I mean, Shine fired her up. Your commitment and passion for your businesses are inspiring our partners to dream bigger because they know they're not alone. You have got their backs, and that has unleashed them. And it's what I love about our business model. As Anne said, it doesn't matter if you're holding tons of trunk shows or selling a few necklaces each month. You matter. It's because of your hustle that Fred has been able to give a better education for his children and empower his wife to become an entrepreneur in her own right. And it's because of your hustle that Anne and Andrew are able to dream about what Chapter 30 could look like for Noonday and Bawa Hope. It's because of you and your hustle that hope is coming to a community where hope really is the most precious commodity. So as you plan for this next month as a Noonday ambassador, remember, whether you make 50 sales or 5, you matter. You are making a contribution. So stay on that hustle bus and keep making those hard asks. And I want to encourage you to follow Anne's advice and register for Shine. Did you guys know that registration's open and we already have almost 200 people registered? Your life and your business will never be the same. Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of You Matter. Hop on over to the Ambassador Facebook page because I love joining up in your conversations. Hashtag You Matter to tell me what your takeaway was from hearing from Anne and Andrew today. See you over on the Facebook page.